Bruchim Abayim, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is really a double Parsha, Parshas Chukas and Balak. In Eretz Yisrael, they will be reading only Parshas Balak because that they have actually gone ahead of us with one Parsha. However, we will be caught up together with them this week, and in Yitz Hashem, we will be continuing on Eza Hashem until Simchas Torah. Today's date is the 7th of Tammuz Tov Shin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar of June 29th, 2020. There's a tremendous amount of information in Parshas Chukas. I will speak a little bit about Balak, but we're going to concentrate on Chukas, as Parshas Chukas actually talks about the mitzvah of Paraduma, which is the mitzvah categorized as a chok. But to give you a proper introduction to this Parsha, it's really going to be an introduction to a Parsha of doing mitzvos. The Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. I will read it to you and try to explain it. Bini shemor amoroi, my son, guard my words. Umitzvosai tizpon itoch. And my commandments you shall hide with yourself. Shemor mitzvosai v'chiei. Guard my mitzvahs, my commandments, and you will live. V'sarasi ki ishein einecha. And my Torah shall be like the apple of your eye. Basically speaking, the Torah is being explained as our GPS. It's our guide through life, our map through day-to-day affairs, and it's divided into three sections. The first section are mitzvos that have to do with Hashem ordained the mitzvah, divinely ordained it to show us and create a connection to Hashem's testimony that would include such mitzvos as the mitzvah of Shabbos, Shemitah, Yovel. These are mitzvos which we categorize as edus, testimony. The second category of mitzvos are mitzvos that we call mishpatim, logical, understandable mitzvos, such as not to steal, gezel, onoa, cheating, ritzicha, murder, and similar. And the third category of mitzvos are mitzvos called chukim. Chukim such as kolayim, not mixing wool and linen together, ubasa b'cholov, in mixing meat and milk together, the laws of para aduma that begin this week's parasha. There are these three categories are all part and parcel of Hashem's master plan, where each mitzvah is directed to a different part of the body, a different organ, a different vein and sinew. Everything is connected, everything is related, and it's all connected to the Torah. The mitzvahs of chukim are kind of difficult to understand, and they were not meant to be understood, certainly on the surface. It's what a king commands his subjects to obey and to be disciplined. I'm giving you mitzvahs. This is the command of the royal palace. The king has commanded so. And following this, this supports and this substantiates not just the role of the king, but it substantiates all the rules and all the mitzvahs that Hashem has given the Bnei Yisrael. Rashi, at the beginning of this week's parsha, attempts and explains the meaning, the surface meaning of the mitzvah of Para Aduma, the mitzvah that's categorized as a choik. He says, Mashal leben shivcha, it's a mashal to the son of a maid, Shetinov Palton Shelmelech. Leben shivcha, the son of a shivcha, had soiled the palace of the king. Amu tavo imo, utakaneach hatsoya. The king says, let the mother come and clean the mess. In similar, kach tavo para, let the para aduma utakaper al ha'egel. That's what Rashi says. So on the surface, the mitzvah of para aduma is a kind of atonement for the Egel HaZohav. The Egel HaZohav is the calf that made a mess, and the Para Aduma, the mother, the Para, is going to clean the mess. So this is certainly on the surface. My Rebbe, Reb Chaim Zalkel Shlita, in the Sefer Chideko, takes it a step further. He explains to us, the Torah writes, "V'haluchais ma'ase Elokim hema." The tablets of Hashem, the luchais are the handiwork of Hashem. "V'hamichtav michtav Elokim," and the inscription is the inscription of the Almighty, who chavos al haluchos. He has engraved the inscription on the tablets on the luchais. Says Chazal on the pasuk, Chorois al haluchais, al tikre chorois el cheros. Don't call it chorois, but read it as cheros, as freedom. Shebiyes matan Torah, at the time of matan Torah, the Bnei Yisrael were Bnei Chayrin. They were free. Who free from who? They were free from the Malach HaMoris. Ava kishachatu be'egel, but when they sinned by the egel hazav, yordu mimadrigosam, they went down from their madrega, and from this mahalafti madrega, they were no longer free from the Malach HaMoris. V'chazu liyos b'nei semusa, and then they were then destined to die as regular mortals. So Misa was brought about through the tumah of the person dying, which came about through the Egel Hazav. Kam Zepara Aduma, that slaughtered, burned, and mixed, its ashes are mixed with water, and is sprinkled on people who have touched or have come in contact with a dead person, and that will purify a person and make him clean. So on a little deeper level, we see over here the Para Aduma is cleaning up the mess of the Egel HaZohav. The Egel HaZohav has brought death to the world. The Jewish people would have lived forever, but now they lost that opportunity, and now the Para Aduma will atone and clean them from the tumah that they have brought upon themselves. this can be taken in even on a deeper level. If you want to think deeper, at the time when the Jewish people accepted the Torah and they said, Na'aseh v'nishma, we are told that 600,000 malachim came down from Shemayim and gave each Jew two crowns, one for Na'aseh and one for Nishma. As soon as they sinned, their crowns were taken away by Malachi Chavala, by Malachim, the prosecuting Malachim, dangerous and hurtful Malachim, and they had to give it back, and they were therefore reduced. Their levels were reduced tremendously. Now, at the time when they said Na'aseh v'nishma, it's important to know that they were at the time of Adam HaRishon before his sin. And they were able to absorb the Torah and able to understand it. Therefore, it was very easy for them to accept the Torah, Na'aseh v'nishma, because usually the term of Na'aseh v'nishma is not a term that average people use, because you don't say, we will do and then we will listen. They were on such a lofty level that they were able to accept the Torah by saying Na'aseh v'nishma because they were like Malachim. They were like Adam HaRishon before his sin. But when they sinned and they lost that level, so then it was a different world. There the Yetzer Hara was no longer outside of them, but it was inside of them. As it happened with Adam HaRishon by the time of the Eitz Hadas, and now since they sinned, that beautiful level that they have risen to was taken away, and therefore they've lost that opportunity. So this is a little bit history of what happened at the time the Jewish people have sinned, and how the ego has caused this to happen, and the power of the mother has come to clean up the mess that was taking place. The whole idea to understand that the Torah is given with chukim is something we constantly daven and mention in our tefillos. We mention every night in davening, Avos Olam Beis Yisrael Amcha Ahavta, Torah u'mitzvos, chukim u'mishpatim, eisonu u'matata. You, Hashem, have taught us all of this. You gave us chukim and mishpatim. You've given us such reason to live and what to strive for. And we daven for this level of excellence. So we are very much aware that the chukim are part and parcel of doing the mitzvahs of the Torah, even though we are not aware of their meaning, but this is like what the king had decided and had decreed. This is our attitude towards them. Now I would like to offer a little bit of my insight to this mitzvah of Paraduma, which introduces the concept of Chayk. For we find in the Parsha of Paraduma a very famous pasuk, and I like to dwell on it, and it's a pasuk of Zeis HaTaira Adam Kiyomus Ba'ohel. On the surface it means this is the law of a person. If he would die in a tent, kol haba el ha'ohel, whoever enters the tent, v'chol asher ba'ohel yitma shivas yomim, he will become tamei for 7 days. Now, this is simply on the surface. However, Chazal expand on it And there's a famous Gemara. There's famous Gemaras, a famous Chazal on the Pasuk. Zayis Atera Adam Kiyomas Ba'oyel. Say Chazal, I'll quote you a Gemara in Gittin. Shimon ben Lakish said, Ein divrei Torah miskaymen el b'mishamemes atzmei aleihem. This refers to Torah. Torah will not endure, only to whom it kind of kills himself for the sake of Torah. It means he puts himself out. He gets out of his comfort zone. Shinema, the Pasuk states, Zayis HaTeira Adam Kiyomus Ba'oihel. It's a Pasuk that opens up a deeper understanding of Limud HaTeira. Now we understand Limud HaTeira is on many levels. We daven in the morning, Eilu Devarim, we are afforded the world to come. And even on one word of Torah, we say at the end of the Eilu Devarim, V'talmud Torah keneged kulam, and learning Torah is equal to all the mitzvahs. And when I want to get my class a little bit serious, if I see they need to be perked up, I say to my class, gentlemen, let's stop and let's count the words of today's lesson. Three or four psukim, I needed them to wake them up. So we counted, let's say, this with 50 words. I write 50 on the board. Then we say, we have Chazal that say, Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Well, let's put 50 times 613. And then they see the numbers like they never imagined. I said, gentlemen, this is what you gave up in this last 5-10 minutes. Look what you could have gained. And it wakes them up a bit. But that's on a simple level. Chazal here are talking more than that. Chazal are talking about Torah becoming part of your essence. Not just reward itself, but it's part of your essence, and that it'll become so part of you, you will grow with it, and it'll endure with you, and you will grow higher, better, and bigger, and more understandable in it. There is a famous Tana Devei Eliyahu. Let me read it to you. Tana Bela says the following. Bo etzli Talmud Echad. Once there was a student that came to me, Eliyahu HaNavi. She'ene baki b'halacha. He wasn't so proficient in halacha. V'omali, and he said to me, V'isekani b'divrei Torah. I've worked in Torah. M'chamed, u'mis'aveh, u'mitzapeh. Ani im Torah, and I love it, and I'm looking forward to learn. But if the Torah will come to me, the ain Torah boy Eli, I'm not going to go to it. I want the Torah to come to me. Amarti loy bini, Eliyahu Nabi said to him, my son, lo zacha ish l'divrei Torah ela im kein moiser. Now Shaila Misa Alel Chvay Shamayim. The only way the Torah will endure is not if it's going to come to you. You have to come to it. You have to put yourself out of your comfort zone, and you have to toil and work and put every bit of effort that you can to make that happen. See, we're living in a world of affluence. We're born into conveniences. There are so many things that are done automatically. How much effort do we have to invest? Very little to get anything really accomplished. to toil, to work, to put your heart and soul in something takes a lot of effort. It's something that, particularly in this generation, it's not so common to want to put all your effort into something that's going to endure. We're living through a pandemic. On the radio, there was something, I believe it was today, they were talking about depression. Depression for those who are going to be going back to work, but they're not used to working. They've been out of work for 3 or 4 months. And as soon as they get back to work, maybe they wouldn't be up to working. Maybe they'll be working, but they'll be depressed. It's a whole different lifestyle. The Torah is not talking about that kind of lifestyle. The Torah is talking about Adam Kiyomas Ba'ayel. In order to arrive to the heights of Torah, you have to push yourself the extra mile. You have to push yourself to be able to learn Torah and to understand Torah and to review it again and again and again. Reviewing is not an easy task either. But that is when Torah becomes part and parcel of your psyche. By reviewing it again and again and putting your life, your heart, and your mind into it. We're all very familiar with the famous tefillah, which we all have heard at the end of a Siyum Masechta, Anu Amelim V'Hem Amelim. We toil and they toil. Anu Amelim U'Mekablim Schar. Hem Amelim V'Einu Mekablim Schar. We, B'nai Torah, we work and we get schar, reward, and they, the world out there, the secular world, so the Chofetz Chaim asked, what kind of a statement is that? Who ever heard of going out and not making money? We work and they work. We work and we get rewarded and they work and they don't get rewarded. And I'm sure you heard the famous answer of the Chofetz Chaim. He says, no, there's a very big difference. If we would be a tailor and we were paid to make somebody a custom-made suit, and if this suit, it cost maybe $1,000, was worked on for maybe a week and a half to 2 weeks, and the customer comes in and tries it out, and he says, it's a little bit too stiff under my arms, and it's kind of short by my sleeve. And the tailor says, don't worry, give it back to me, I will adjust it. And the next week he comes and he puts it on and it's been adjusted, and he says, but it's a little bit too short. And again, the tailor is embarrassed to admit it that it is so. So he said, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. And the man is frustrated. He says, I wanted a custom-made suit that fits. I'm not interested in this suit. And he walks out while the tailor is saying, wait a minute, I worked a whole week and a half. This is so important to me. I'll make it work. I'll make it fit. And the man walks right out of the tailor shop and he says, I'm not interested. Well, he worked, but he didn't get paid. We work in Torah. Even if you learn a piece of Chumash, even if you learn a Mishnah, and you learned it incorrectly, even if you learned a Gemara or a Taisus, and you spent an hour or more, and you still don't understand it, you still get rewarded in Shemayim. The reward is phenomenal. Yes, the reward is there in Shemayim for your toil. Not necessarily for what you've accomplished. The tailor can only get paid for what he accomplished, not for his toiling. And that's with everything in life. You get paid for what you've accomplished. The boss will only pay you for what you've accomplished, but not for your efforts. In Torah, it doesn't work that way. In Torah, you get rewarded and paid for your efforts. And that's what we are so familiar with the pasuk, "V'im b'chukai se'teleichu." if you go into my chukim. Rashi says on the spot, he's referring to Amelas Batora, you will be blessed with so many blessings. Your life will be different. That if you put your heart and your mind into it, this is what Amelas can do. Amelas, again, is pushing yourself a little harder, making goals for yourself so you can learn more and be able to accomplish so much more. We know that there, at the end of this week's parsha, of Parsha's Chukas, there is a statement that the Gemara dwells on. It's the part where the Jewish people had a battle with the people from Sichon, from the nation of Sichon, and the city of Cheshbon was really part of Moab. But Moab was won over by Sichon, and now Sichon attempted to go to war with Klal Yisrael, and the Bnei Yisrael won over Sichon, also capturing Cheshbon. Now, that was just part of history, but the pasuk says, "Al kein yoimu hamoshlim bo'u Cheshbon." This is referring to a comment that Bilam said, and he's the one who gives the mashalim, the proverbs. He says, "Al kein yoimu hamoshlim," referring to Bilam, "bo'u Cheshbon, come to Cheshbon." He's saying he cursed Moab. And he said, come to Cheshbon, and you'll overcome Cheshbon. Tibona, you'll rebuild it with Tikon, Ir Sichon. And you will establish it, Ir Sichon. Says the Gemara on the words, Al Kein Yoimu Hamoshlim Bo'u Cheshbon, famous Gemara. Come to Cheshbon. What is that referring to? The Gemara in Baba Basra says, on those words, a completely different meaning. Nothing to do with Sichon winning over Cheshbon. Nothing to do with Bilam having cursed the people of Moab. The Gemara says, on the words, Al Kein Yoimu Hamoshlim, the following Gemara. Hamoshlim, what is it referring to? Elo Hamoshlim b'Yitzram. These are the people who have overcome their Yetzirah. Bo'u v'nachshel cheshbono shel olam. Come and make a cheshbon, a calculation, a cheshbono shel olam, an eternal cheshbon. Hefzed mitzvah k'neged tzchara. Make a cheshbon. You're in this world. You're not here forever. Make a cheshbon. Evaluate. Calculate. The hefsed, the loss of a mitzvah against its reward. And what does that mean? It means, let's say, if a person had an opportunity to do a mitzvah and he lost it, why did he lose it? He had other interests. Look what the schar he lost, keneged schar. Look what he could have earned in Olam Haba, the world to come. Uschar aveira keneged hefseda, and calculate the schar, the pleasure of an aveira, against the retribution, the hefsid. So the pasuk is telling us, in this world, we have to live with a cheshbon. We have to live with a calculation. There are times that we have to put ourselves out, and some mitzvahs are difficult. But calculate the reward you're going to get for putting yourself out for a mitzvah. And calculate the punishment that one can get for the moment or two of pleasure that he has in doing an aveira. We're very familiar with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Hillel. Everyone's probably familiar. This is very commonly known. Im ein ani li mi li, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? If I will not be for my Torah learning, and I'm not aggressive enough to put myself a little bit on the line, then who will be for me? Ukishani la'atzmi, and if I've risen to the level, and I've learned Torah, did I accomplish enough? Ma'ani, who am I? There's so much more to learn. Have I given myself a fair try? And of course, the final answer, the final statement is, V'imlai akshav emosai, and if not now, when? The Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal. If a person has to leave his family two or three times a year to go to a world fair to make parnasa, he's a big merchant, and he's there to be able to make parnasa. If he would be spending even moments of wasteful energy and time doing silly things, let's say, for example, he would spend time at a sport and spend time reading newspapers instead of being in front of his counter or his stand selling his product, and he would be losing thousands of dollars every day wasting his time, that would be ridiculous. He could be spending that same time in a productive way, and then at the end of the fair, come back with a parnasa. We leave our place in heaven thousands upon thousands of miles from this world to come here for a few years to earn a living, to earn Olam Haba. That's our purpose here. That's our place. We have to find the ways, the means, and the attitude in using our time productively so that we will be able to use our potential in being able to earn our Olam Haba rightfully. And then when we come up to Shemayim, we'll be so happy and so pleased with the amount of reward that's waiting for us for eternity. It's hard to describe eternity. I was once explained eternity would be if you took a sack from the filled with sand from the seashore, and every 100 years one granule would fall out of the sack. That would just begin eternity. What would be if you would fill all the seashores with sacks of sand, and you would see, you try to wait for all of the sand to empty out from all the sacks? It's beyond our comprehension. We can't even think like that. But that's what eternity is. And that's what the reward will be for us, eternal reward. I'd like to conclude with a story, a very interesting story that happened with Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. Some of you know he was a martyr. He was states raising money for his yeshiva, and it was in the time of the Holocaust, and he had decided to go back to the community to prepare them to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. At one of those trips to America, he was trying to raise money for his yeshiva. So he was in New York, And he went to a friend of his, and it says, it was, of course, during wartime. Could you help me out? How could I make some money to support my yeshiva? His friend said, you know, there is a very, very wealthy Jew. Matter of fact, he has your last name. He might even be related. His name is Wasserman. I think they call him Philip. He owns a coat factory. He's making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. But he has one problem. He's a miser. Very little money came out of his pockets to charity. But you can try. You can say you're from his hometown. You can say that you have the same name. He might be interested. So, Rav Elchanan Wasserman made an appointment to meet Philip Wasserman. And, of course, he would get to run around. I think he sensed that there's some Jew from another country that wants to raise some money. He says, I'm not available now. Call me tomorrow. He called him the next day. He says, he's busy this afternoon. Why don't you try and the next day, finally he's speaking to the secretary. Tell the boss. Tell Philip Wasserman, his cousin from Europe, is here. He'd like to meet him. So she walked into the office. He says, she told Rav Elchanan, Wasserman is here. He claims he's your relative. He would like to meet you. He said, Rav Elchanan, of course. Tell him to come as soon as possible. Please, I want to see him. So there was no more runaround. So finally, Rav Elchanan came to Manhattan, downtown Manhattan. He looked up the address. He finally got to the right floor in this big building. And there he tells the secretary, Elchanan Wasserman is here to meet Philip. And all of a sudden, Philip comes out and he says, Shalom Aleichem, how are you doing? How is it? How are you managing? And they sat down and they reminisced from the old country quite a bit. And Elchanan, he asked, what are you doing, Rabbi Elchanan? He said, well, I was in Kollel, I was in the yeshiva for many years, and now I have a yeshiva of my own, and I have 400 talmidim, and so on. Right. And what are you doing here, Mr. Philip Wasserman? Oh, he says, I am a very wealthy man. I have biggest coat factory in New York, tremendous, and I'm very happy with how the businesses are going. So now Philip says, and what was your purpose of coming here? He says, I just came to say hello. To say hello? All the way from Europe on a boat that took 2 or 3 weeks? Yeah, and he bid him goodbye. The next day, Rav Elchanan gets a phone call, and a phone call from Philip. Philip says, I'm going meshuggah. You didn't tell me the truth why you are here. Why did you come to visit me? Why did you come to America? I told you. I came to say hello. I want you to come to my office immediately. So now Rav Elchanan gave him the runaround. I'm busy today. Maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow he made up an appointment. What day? What time of the day? And finally he comes to his office. Rav Elchanan comes to the office and he says to him, tell me, why did you come to America? It costs so much money. It's such a long trip. Why did you come here? So he says, you know what? I have a torn button on my kaputa, and I heard that you are a very, very big manufacturer. Could you please sew some buttons onto my kaputa? Of course I'll do that. But I want you to tell me, is that why you came all the way from overseas? Is that the reason why you came forward so I should be able to sew on a few buttons? You're not telling me the entire story. So Rav Elchanan stands up and he says, Pinchas, because that was his real name. Pinchas, I don't understand you. Pinchas, your neshama came from Shamayim, from Shiva Rikiyos, seven heavens. And between each heaven, I'm not sure in the number, I think 500-year distance between each heaven. And you came all the way down to this world. And you know you're telling me? You came down to this world, and you're not a frum person, and you're not a shomei Torah mitzvos? Only to go ahead and sew buttons? Is that your place why you came down to this world? When Pinchas heard that, he broke down in tears. And he said, you are 100% right. You are 100% right. I forgot that when I came to America, I left all of that behind. I'm going to ask you, tell me now, why did you come here? I came here because I have a yeshiva with 400 Talmidim, and I need money to support them. Pinchas said, I will support your yeshiva for the next 2 years. It's on me. Every penny, it will be coming out of my pocket. But I ask you for a favor. I want you right now to sit down with me and learn Gemara the way we learned in the old country. And Rav Elchanan took out a Gemara, and we sat down and learned together with Philip, and Philip changed his life to become a real, honest Baal Tshuva. This is a real story, and we have to think of ourselves coming down to this world. A long, long trip. Our neshamas have to come down to this world to learn Torah, to fulfill the Eidos, Chukim, U'Mishpatim, to serve Hashem dedicatedly, sincerely, and with devotion and with passion. We're living in a time where you see a renaissance of Torah learning. Tremendous Torah learning. We're all familiar with the Daf Yomi that we had a Siyum HaShas several months ago. There was a tremendous hundreds of thousands participated, not just in one location, all over the world. There are Daf Yomis throughout North America and in every country. We have hundreds upon hundreds of partners in Torah, where dedication of learning is flaring up and continuing to move on by the day, by the month, and by the year. Just in this pandemic, I can't begin to calculate the hundreds of thousands of collective hours in the Zoom world where people were learning b'chavrusa. You can have a chavrusa in Australia learn with somebody in England while the Rebbe is listening in Eretz Yisrael and correcting their mistakes. Today there's no excuse at all in being able to be Omel Batera, toil in Tyra. Today, with the technology that's at our fingertips, we can, we should, and we must be Omel Batera. May you all be blessed with a terrific, healthy week ahead of you. Let's learn from this week's Parsha, Parsha's Chukas, that the Chayk, a paraduma has in it the inspiration and the strength to to motivate all of us into our Melech Batera, like we said, Zeis HaTera Adam Kiyomus Ba'ayel. The Torah has in it the strength to make us live and endure a life of holiness and pleasure. Let us all jump on the bandwagon, so to say, and be Amal Batera, work to our potential, and each and every one of us will rise to the challenge and make a huge Kiddush Hashem. Have a great day.